Hello everyone, and welcome back to another reading by Magic Books. You're listening to Kev, and today I'm going to be reading you another wonderful chapter from the book Chicken Soup for the Soul by Jack Canfield and Mark Victor Hansen. Today's chapter speaks heavily about love. I'm really excited to get into it, so I hope you're all well, and I hope you're all relaxed and in a comfortable position so you can really enjoy this reading. Big Ed. When I arrived in a city to present a seminar on tough-minded management, a small group of people took me to dinner to brief me on the people I would talk to the next day. The obvious leader of the group was Big Ed, a large, burly man with a deep, rumbling voice. At dinner, he informed me that he was a troubleshooter for a huge international organization. His job was to go into certain divisions and subsidiaries to terminate the employment of the executive in charge. "Joe," he said, "I'm really looking forward to tomorrow because all of the guys need to listen to a tough guy like you. They're gonna find out that my style is the right one." He grinned and winked. I smiled. I knew the next day was going to be different from what he was anticipating. The next day he sat impassively all through the seminar and left at the end without saying anything to me. 3 years later, I returned to that city to present another management seminar to approximately the same group. Big Ed was there once again. At about 10 o'clock, he suddenly stood up and asked dourly, "Joe, can I say something to these people?" I grinned and said, "Sure. When anybody is as big as you are, Ed, he can say anything he wants." Big Ed went on to say, "All of you guys know me and some of you know what's happened to me. I want to share it, however, with all of you. Joe, I think you'll appreciate it by the time I've finished." When I heard you suggest that each of us, in order to become really tough-minded, needed to learn to tell those closest to us that we really loved them, I thought it was a bunch of sentimental garbage. I wondered what in the world that had to do with being tough. You had said toughness is like leather and hardness is like granite. That the tough mind is open, resilient, disciplined and tenacious, but I couldn't see what love had to do with it. That night, as I sat across the living room from my wife, your words were still bugging me. What kind of courage would it take to tell my wife that I loved her? Couldn't anybody do it? You had also said this should be in the daylight and not in the bedroom. I found myself clearing my throat and starting and then stopping. My wife looked up and asked me what I had said, and I answered, "Oh, nothing." Then suddenly I got up, walked across the room, nervously pushed her newspaper aside and said, "Alice, I love you." For a minute she looked startled. Then the tears came to her eyes and she said softly, "Ed, I love you too. But this is the first time in 25 years you've said it like that." We talked a while about how love, if there's enough of it, can dissolve all kinds of tensions, and suddenly I decided on the spur of the moment to call my oldest son in New York. We have never really communicated well. When I got him on the phone, I blurted out, "Son, you're liable to think I'm drunk, but I'm not. I just thought I'd call you and tell you that I love you." There was a pause at his end, and then I heard him say quietly, "Dad, I guess I've known that, but it's sure good to hear it. I want you to know that I love you too." We had a good chat and I called my youngest son in San Francisco. We had been closer. I told him the same thing and this too led to a real fine talk like we've never really had. As I lay in bed that night thinking, I realized that all the things you talked about that day, real management nuts and bolts, took on extra meaning. And I could get a handle on how to apply them if I really understood and practiced tough-minded love. I began to read books on the subject. Sure enough, Joe, a lot of great people had a lot to say, and I began to realize the enormous practicality of applied love in my life, both at home and at work. As some of you guys here know, I really changed the way that I work with people. I began to listen more and to really hear. I learned what it was like to try to get to know people's strengths rather than dwelling on their weaknesses. I began to really discover the real pleasure of helping people build their confidence. Maybe the most important thing of all was that I really began to understand that an excellent way to show love and respect for people was to expect them to use their strengths to meet objectives that we had worked out together. Joe, this is my new way of saying thanks. Incidentally, talk about practical, I'm now Executive Vice President of the company and they call me a pivotal leader. Okay, you guys, now listen to this guy, Joe Batten. Now, I really love this chapter because it speaks so profoundly about the hard-shelled lives that we find ourselves living in this day and age. So many people that I know have these common misconceptions and these little beliefs that it's wrong to cry. It's wrong to show emotion. It's wrong to show love. Yeah, people take it for weakness. This story, it wasn't about this guy becoming a better manager. It was about him becoming a better version of himself. And the way that he managed that is to allow those feelings of love and those emotions to flow. It sounded like he had kept them at bay, like he locked them off, like he didn't want to feel those kinds of emotions, he didn't know how to. This guy struggled to tell his wife that he loved her, and then straight away he called his two children, and the first relationship sounded like they had never really said it to each other, and the second one sounded like it had gone on a little while since he'd spoken to his son. So that alone is a reflection of how little the amount of love that he's letting to flow or allowing to flow into his life. Because if you haven't told your wife for a long time, or she said that it's the first time in 25 years you've ever said it like that, and then you've jumped on the phone to talk to your sons, it tells me that he's distanced from his children, and he found it difficult to tell his wife he loved her. So he distanced himself from those good feeling emotions for a long time. And how many of us do it? How many of us around the world find ourselves too stubborn, too ignorant, or just too cut off from those good feeling places that we don't find ourselves picking up that phone and calling that person that we care about so dearly? How many of us have had a row or a tiff, or how many friendships or relationships have been thrown down the toilet because we want to be right all of the time? You know, how many times have you had an argument where you've lost a dear friend just because you wanted to be right? You know, so many people have got life backwards. What life really is about learning to love who you are, falling in love with yourself, and then from that perspective you can start to love other people how they deserve to be loved. What this guy speaks about, he now became vice president of the company and he has respect for most of his employees, and they call him a pivotal leader. That came about because I've personally worked for a lot of managers, and I've been in a lot of managerial positions, and the one thing that sticks out like a sore thumb, people have this idea that if they rule with an iron fist, then they're going to get the job done more efficiently, right? So if you shout and scream at your staff, if you somehow get fear inside of them, if they're scared of you, if they're going to be walking around on eggshells, a lot of managers like this, and they're actually taught to be like this. You know, don't take no gibberish, do what you need to do, don't care about the people. And managers enforce all of these new rules, and they kind of just come down hard on their staff, but in some false belief that it's actually going to get the job done better. So it's not the way that it works for me personally. Like, through my managerial experience, I never changed who I was, because if you have to change who you are to get a job done, then that's counterproductive to who you're becoming in your life. You know, like when I was young, maybe I did that and I learned from it. And I realize now that you have to show people a level of love and respect. If you rule with an iron fist and you shout at your staff and scream at your staff, They're going to do what you ask, but minimally. They're just going to do the bare minimum. And when you're not there, they're just going to disregard your company. They're just going to talk waffle about your company. There's going to be all sorts of things that they're going to start doing, like just showing complete disregard for any kind of respect. Yeah, they'll put stuff on social media about how bad the company is. Word of mouth will spread like wildfire. There's so many elements of it. If you were to rule compassionately, if you used to come in and say, look, I'm the manager, this is a certain position that requires me to do certain things and behave in a certain way, but I want you to all to know that I'm also part of the team. Like, we're all going to work together still, and we're all ultimately going to meet at the finish line together. So let's enjoy this as much as possible. Let's have some fun if we can, you know. Whoever dares to have fun at work, you know. People associate work with something that is separate from fun. You know, you're feeling good at home, then you have an idea that you have to go to work tomorrow, and that good feeling goes. Well, for those of us that aren't happy in the careers that they're doing. But getting back to it, if you rule with love, and people can connect with that, and you will bring out the best in your staff. I see it so many times, especially in hospitality, where managers treat staff horribly and they leave. Really good staff end up leaving, and you're left with the staff that don't want to do anything. All just because the management just see people as numbers. Especially being within the city of London, there's always going to be CVs flying through your door. So the manager has this kind of outlook that if you don't like your job, you can go, because I have 10 CVs here right now that'll do your job for less money. Like, kind of what is that? Like, where's the respect? Where's the love? Like, I've worked for you for X amount of years. I've grafted, I've slaved. When I could have been at home with my children, I've been here, and you show me this kind of level of respect. Like, it's all about bringing out the best in people. Anyone can do your job if they're trained properly. You could take anyone off the street and make them successful at something. It just depends on how long it takes. Each person is different. Every person has a different level of experience, understanding, and patience. But you can teach anyone to do anything. But the way you do that is to bring out the best in them. If you're stiff and you're firm, and you're trying to get people to learn what you're learning, and if they're not picking it up that quickly, you start shouting at them and screaming at them. No, they've lost interest. They don't want to be here. There's no longevity in it for them. They don't want to be there for longer than 2-3 days. So this story, the guy, he learns to bring that barrier down. He learns to let those emotions unfold. He learns to allow those emotions to flow through him. He begins with his wife, then his children, and then he goes on to treat his staff probably as if they were family. And it brings out the best in them. And as a result, he became vice president and very well respected. Well, that's enough of my crazy ramblings. I hope you all enjoyed the chapter and my little bit about it afterwards. And I hope you all have a nice day. No stress, no drama. Take care of your moments.